Well, thank you all for reminding us that no matter what the appearances or sounds are, there is only love. Well, happy Memorial Day weekend. Yay. So, I think it behooves all of us just to honor the people who have put their lives on the line for us time and time again. So if you currently work in the armed forces, all of them, or have, would you please stand up so that we can honor you for your service, or raise your hand, please, if you have been in any branch of the armed service. So thank you so very much for all that you've done for us. So Memorial Day historically used to be called Decoration Day. I think a lot of us know this. Because in the Civil War, when this came about, after the Civil War, they used to go to the graves of the men who battled and decorate their graves. And that's expanded over the years. I have great childhood memories. I didn't think they were great at that time, with my grandmother, me, my mother, my grandmother, mostly did it for my grandmother and my brother, going out to the grave sites and decorating their graves. And I remember with great pride that we all had sticking the flag into the graves of the beloved who passed, who served this country. And I also, as proud as I was to put the American flag on those graves, as honored as I am and thankful for each and every one of you and your dedication to protect this nation, to protect this country, and ultimately protect the world, I still have a greater vision. Because I will say that as I was trying to figure out and having a meeting with Reverend Roger, we were having our regular staff meeting along with Nina Frigette. I was like, I'm having problems because as much as I love the fact that these people are protecting us, I have an issue with war. As much as I honor everyone placing their lives on the line, whether they saw active duty or not, and I thank God for the people, the men and the women, or if you're choosing not to identify as any gender, however you choose to identify, placing your life on the line for the protection of the world, and yet, and still, there's a part of me that says, why do we continue to talk about putting your life on the line to protect? Why are we having to visit so many of our beautiful young men and women who have given their lives to protect in the name of preparing or preparing in case of a war? As spiritual beings, I think we need to move away from the narrative and envision that our forces, not armed forces, unless they're armed in peace, but even that, the verbiage that we give everything, armed in peace, the war on drugs, the prayer warriors, the war against crime. We are constantly in a community where we're trying to protect ourselves against something else versus preparing ourselves for a higher call, preparing ourselves for a different time of protection. So I'm here for us to think about no longer fighting anymore, no longer going into war, including and especially within ourselves. How many times have we been warring with our spouses or warring with our families or warring with our coworkers or warring with the lawnmower? In our own consciousness, and I can't even say that it is something that we can blame for because it's just in the world. I've even had conversations with congregants who tell me that because I have this ideology, this thought that we should stop talking about it and doing something about it, about peace. I hear that I'm idealistic to think that there will never ever be any conflict because we're human, because we're fallible, because we always want to be right. And I always say, and if you come to me, I will always say, yes, we will always have conflict because we have differences of opinion. What I will go against is the way that we handle those differences of opinion. We do not have to war with ourselves. We no longer, I would love that the armed forces would transition something more like the National Guard. And I know that the National Guard, when something's happening, they're the first to call to go into battle. But usually, who are the National Guards when something happens? They're the first one of the armed forces that are there. Tragedies like tornadoes that have been hitting all over the place and weather. Protecting us in those regards. In really life-threatening situations where they are a help. A saving us and a protecting us from things that are not of our making. Okay, I know that the weather, that's, you know, we can argue that that is of our making. But for right now, I would love to see aspects of people laying their lives down, not for the purposes of protecting us against war, but just to lovingly protect us. And the only way that we can do that is to realize that there's a different protection that we need to aim for. There's another level of protection that is not of this world, and is the protection of God. God's protection is there. And I'm not talking about the old ideology, the old theology, the old thoughts of David, King David, in that the Savior, the protection, will come as a warring king. That God comes as a shield, a material shield that we can battle on with. I'm not talking about that kind. I am talking about the Jesus Christ version of what a God of protection is all about. I mean, think about it. If you know anything about the Old Testament, King David was thought of as the perfect Savior for the community because he came in and fought for righteousness. He did what he needed to do for the day. Henceforth, each and every person who stood up that we proudly say thank you for your service, did so for the time that we needed you. I am never, ever going to shame you in thinking that you did anything wrong because we need you. We needed you, and we still do, unfortunately, for the purposes that you went in. But I'm not talking about that now. I am talking about for us to finally move away from war, we need to act upon it. We need to realize that there is a stronger protection for us. And it is the Jesus Christ protection. I give to you, and if you've been here before, you can answer these questions. This is all right if I have to remind you. You'll go, okay, yeah. The first thing, anytime Jesus was in turmoil, what was the first thing that Jesus did? See, I knew you would know it. Would you be surprised if I told you that going into prayer is your protection of God? See, we don't really think about it that way because prayer, it seems a lot of times we go to prayer and it's kind of trite, it's kind of rote. We kind of do it. I think most of us talk about prayer. Most of us don't have a daily communication, i.e. prayer life with God. But that prayer life, and it doesn't have to be in a sense of life, my life is war right now, help me. It could be at any point in time, and especially when you find yourself at war or at odds within yourself or with anyone else or with the world, it is especially good to move forward with what I now deem as the armor of God. Now, I know in the Old Testament, the armor of God are these gems and the armor. The armor of God is the truth of God guiding you, not into war, but out of each and every situation, so that you do not have to find yourself warring with yourself. You do not have to find yourself warring with other people, because the more you find yourself in communication with God, a two-way communication, and especially not only a talking to God, but a listening, God will always lead you away from the battlefield within yourself internally or in the outside world. That is the greatest protection that we can ever have. That is the protection that Jesus talks about, that taught about, that we go to the Father first, Mother, Father, God. And in that, we put in our request. Now, I love the thought of a request as being a quest. Questing for God, moving forward, opening yourself up. Not just the, I'm going to pray to God and hopefully God will answer to me. No. Communication with God is like a beautiful adventure and an expectation of your good. It is a quest, not a dangerous quest, but a quest to shift over, change over your life, only if you want it. Only if you want to live in a place of peace. Because King David was about war. Jesus was all about peace. It is time for us to walk the line of what Jesus taught. Actually be and do. It's time for us to shift our consciousness. Not be in the consciousness of humans are fallible. We will never, ever stop warring. You know what? As long as we continue to think that we will never, ever stop warring, we will continue to feed in and buy into the results of warring. And I've been told again that I am silly for my thoughts to think that humans don't have to go into war. And I just say, you can think whatever I want. I'm standing firm in the fact that we don't have to do that. I'm standing firm in the fact that none of us have to war internally or externally. We don't. But it has to be a shift in our consciousness. That no matter what we see on the outside, we can still say no. That is, yes, what is happening now. I'm not telling you to deny the facts of this world. I'm just saying that we have the power, each and every one of us, to rise above it and to shift. And it changes, and it takes the change in our consciousness to see that, no, I'm not going to participate in it this way. And I'm not saying that anytime we see our beloved soldiers, the men, the women, the other that are coming back, I'm not saying to shun them like we did in the 60s, but I'm also saying that as we look at them and honor them honor each and every one of you who have gone in, to see them in a different way, to see that we do not have to be armed anymore for our protection, but that we are armed with the presence and protection of God, which will allow us in some eventuality to no longer be armed with weapons, to no longer need protection against anyone else who has weapons. At some point in time, we need to stand firm in the fact that no matter what religion you are, no matter what ethnic group you are, that the power is in recognizing that God's power is everlasting. God's power is ultimate. God's power is the only way. God's power and protection is the only way for us to no longer live in this dying planet, and to bring life and peace here on earth. And so, how do we do this now? You know, we have to practice. Practice using the protection of God. And I've already said the protection of God is praying. I won't ask for hands, but ask yourself, do I regularly pray? Whether life is good, life is bad. Do I regularly pray? Am I in constant communication with God? Am I asking God to guide the way? Because prayer is the asking of God to guide the way. That is the protection. It's God's guidance, guiding you through any challenges. And then while we're being guided, Lord knows that as you're, say, going to work Tuesday, that there might be some issues with your supervisor, your boss, your coworkers, that they won't understand that you're standing on the presence and the power and the protection of God. But it's about then your reaction. They might come at you warring and armed with all these things, but if you're standing in the foot of God's protection and God's guidance, all you need to do then is pray. Right then, right there, go, okay, God, I'm listening. I'm praying. What do you want me to do? That's all you have to do. Give me your protection and guiding me through this. The other thing is listening. You know, too many times we pray, God, tell me, 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 God, tell me. Please, God, tell me, God, tell me. God, how come you're not telling me anything? Have you ever tried talking or having a conversation with someone who's just talking all the time? And you try to get a word in edgewise, well, yeah, Well, I think, It's similar with God. Even though God is always talking, the difference is God is already giving us the answer. But the more we talk, the more we're not open to hear the response. God is always responding. I remember having this conversation even before I was called to ministry, even before I even really actually and factually believed in this thing called God. I do remember having this conversation with a born-again Catholic. And she went to her priest because she was having problems listening. And the priest said, "My dear, maybe you ask too much of God. Maybe you shouldn't ask so much." And I looked at her and I said, "What kind of priest are you talking to?" Because every time I talk to God, I get answers. Let me say that again. Every time I talk to God, every time I ask God, I hear answers, or I feel answers, or I see answers, or a book falls down that says, "Oh, here's the answer," or a TV commercial or a TV series comes on, or a song comes on that's like, "Oh." Only if you are willing to listen, accept the protection of God, can we be protected against harm, against war. Now, again, it just takes one of us. Again, it isn't like the bewitched wiggling her nose and everything disappears. If each and every one of us continue to practice the presence of the protection of God and ask for God's guidance, then we become the model. All of a sudden, we become at peace. All of a sudden, people around us see that, hey, there's no war. Even your beloved spouse who wants to nip, nip, nip at you, if you refuse to war, do you realize that if it takes two or more to war? That if you refuse to get involved in that, then it will not happen. And that's ultimately what it takes in the world. A couple of countries that say, "No, we're not going to do this." Switzerland. Let's get No, I'm being neutral. But even beyond being neutral, how about, "No, I'm taking a stand." Because this warring thing has not done us any good. The more that we war against something else, the more war continues to expand. The more, whether it's in nations, whether it's personally, whether it's ethnically, there has to be a component that, yes, this person has done me wrong, but why am I going to do them wrong to treat them like they treated me? Why am I going to retaliate in the same way? You know, Booker T. Washington said, "You are not going to drag my soul down like that." It is time for us to place on the protection of God. So I have the three R's of prayer, the protection of God. Recognize. Recognize that God is always everywhere present and available to you at any given moment, right here, right now. Remember, just as Jesus said, that whatever you're going through, no matter what the challenges are, remember that God is here, ready to serve, ready to answer questions, ready to, at a moment's notice, even before the question is asked, the answer is there because God is everywhere present into moving forward for the greatness of good. Practicing what Jesus did, go to God first. And then last R is rejoice. Rejoice in the presence that God's presence is there for our greatness. Not just sometime, every time, if we allow the sweet presence, whether you call it her, whether you call it him, it, whether you call it Allah, Jesus, God, my dog, whatever you call God, it doesn't care. All it cares about is being a conduit through and as you, so that we can manifest what we are truly here to be. It isn't just about Christ consciousness, something out there. It is about actualizing being that Christ, putting on that title. See, Christ wasn't the last name of Jesus, nor because it was Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus, nor was it like the first name. No, it's like a title that we evolve to. And we put it on, and we take a stand just like Jesus did, our brother, the shower of the way. That's why Unity uses the story of Jesus, because blank, point blank, Jesus, again, came here for peace. Came here to show us how we could be at peace, and that we could resurrect all the dead things in our lives. We no longer have to decorate the memories, decorate the dead, but that we can choose to live life eternally. We no longer have to send our beloved children out not only to sacrifice their lives, sacrifice their minds, sacrifice their souls. You know, and that's why we honor them. Because it is truly, truly a huge sacrifice that you have all made and that our people out there are making. But they're making it because we ask them to. We demand them to. So let's take a stand to war no more within our own selves and sending our beloveds out so we no longer have to decorate. Let us recognize that God is there. Remember God's greatness for each and every one of us and rejoice that God's greatness is there for us, so that we're always recognizing God's loving protection, that we don't need the protection of this outside world. That God's will of good, through prayer and communication, continually and constantly protect us every moment of every day. And so let us have our denial and affirmation. And so the denial is, I let go of the sadness and sorrow I have held over any area of my life through the power and the practice and the protection of God in me and through me. I rise free and encumbered. Unencumbered, excuse me, yes. That's the purpose. Yes, we're not encumbered at all. We're unencumbered. Thank you for catching that, and thank you for holding on to that. If that is your truth, repeat this with me. I let go of the sadness and sorrow I have held over any area of my life through the power and protection of God in me and through me. I rise free and unencumbered. Now, you can change the words of sorrow and sadness to death. I let go of the death I have held over in my area of my life through the power and protection of God in and through me. As me is also another great one. If I were to do this over again, I would have said as, because that's the purpose of this. Not just in, not through, but as. And so more and more, I'm going to be making the request to be as, God as me, Christ as me, because that is the truth of us, all right? And so, I can't remember all of what I just said, but I let go of the death I have held over any areas of my life. Through the power and protection of God as me, I rise free and unencumbered, and so it is. Amen.